Y'all ready?
My gavel stayed on the old building. Call this special meeting together in order, and bear in mind we are being live streamed, and also people can pick it up live stream, can't be here and all that. This time I'm going to ask Margaret Daughter to give us an invocation and a pledge.
To be here tonight. We're thankful for all these people that have showed up and showing their support for the animal control, Lord, and we're thankful for each one of these quorum court members, Lord, that have ran and won and are willing to spend their time up here to solve a problem, Lord, that's past time of solving. So I pray, Lord, for wisdom, I pray for understanding, and I pray for guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll recognize the veterans. You might be here tonight, and the veterans, please stand. Secretary, will you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Boyer.
Here.
Haynes.
Here.
Good.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahowski.
Here.
Knight. Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Schott.
Here.
Cole.
Here.
Thank you all for being able to make it. Thank you. At this time, we have one item on our agenda, and the first two items. Let me pass out these. These are the committee assignments, and committee assignments made. I promised you I'd have them, and I don't want to forget. All right. The next item that we're considering tonight under the business for this quorum court is a special call meeting to listen and a fact-finding to help us move forward with animal control, trying to develop an operating stream for an animal shelter. And we're going to, this is a listening session, a fact-finding. I'd ask this two or three things. One is, please turn your cell phones off or turn them on vibrate. There's court that starts here in the morning. If you've got things, cups or anything of this nature, trash, please take it with you when you leave. I've been asked to announce that. And the last thing is, if you keep your comments to address the court and keep that interruption from happening, it won't cause delay. So please keep your comments to address the court. We'll try to recognize everyone that wants to be recognized. There's no problem on that. Just peace good. You called this meeting or recommend we have it, so I'm going to ask you if you'd serve as facilitator of the meeting. I'll be the chair. I ask Justice Higgins, in his experience in animal shelter and all, to co-facilitate with you. And I have the sheriff has said he's going to be here if called on, so I wanted to announce that. Chair recognizes Justice Good.
Thank you, Judge Baker. I reached out to you the other day, and really I would like to cede the floor to Justice Higgins. I think he would be much better served to facilitate the meeting. I will help him as he needs, if he needs. I did want to call this meeting. I think that we owe... we owe, first off, the new court members some knowledge. With seven new court members, many of you are coming in here, even though you may have read things on Facebook or comments on Channel 7 stories, wherever you got your information, some of that is wrong. Some of that is incorrect. You know, I've seen countless times on Facebook that the Quorum Court has done nothing to solve this problem. And first, you know, you need to remember what the Quorum Court's function is. We're a legislative body who basically appropriates. We have no executive function. We can suggest via resolution, but you know, we have done what we are called to do and challenged to do. You know, some will say, well, you didn't vote for a tax. Well, you know, no, I didn't vote for a tax, but I also could have had this problem solved in 15 by reallocating some money with a special election that we passed 11-2 one month via ordinance, and the next month to call the special election, it was shot down 6-7 because it was worked very hard against to change that. This issue would be over and done with at this point in time, truthfully, had the voters chose to do it. You know, then we fast forward, and I'm not going to steal this thunder, but we fast forwarded, and there were other things that, well, the court didn't support that. Well, one of them was taking $400,000 out of $1 million that had already been sequestered. You know, if I've got $5 in my right pocket and I put it in my left pocket, that doesn't mean I now have $10. It just means I moved pockets. And when we had money sequestered in one account, we couldn't take money out of that to solve this problem. Well, the Quorum Court didn't, that mean old Quorum Court didn't want to solve the problem. No, we had already allocated that money and we couldn't take it from there. Well, then you didn't vote for a tax. Well, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. There's money here in this county that we can solve this problem without raising a tax on the taxpayers of the county. And so, you know, the fact that, you know, it's been said repeatedly that we've done nothing, I think Justice Higgins has put together a wonderful timeline that I know I can add a few things to that he's not aware of that I've done, but at this point in time, I think I'd like to turn it over to you and you can run it from here.
Okay, thank you, Justice Good. So what I'd like to do is actually to kind of start off to go through the timeline. So I think it's fair for us to recognize that we have seven new JPs of 13 on the court. And so some of you, you know, may have various levels of information about what the Quorum Court has done to address this issue, even over the last 10 or 15 years. So I have copies of the timeline that was distributed over the weekend. Does anybody need a hard copy? Because we'll kind of be going through that. Does anybody else? I'll pass that. I'll tell you what. Let me just save one. There you go, Judge.
Let me get one.
Hello.
That's timeline. Yes, well, it was the email. The timeline was in the email, not in the exact.
So what I'd like to do is go through this at a high level, and of course, there's some attachments. The actual ordinances and resolutions that we'll be talking about on this were attached in the email that was distributed by Councilor Hogue over the weekend. You can look at those to see actually the wording on that. And this is real high level. This is not exhaustive. There have been a lot of activities that have gone on that are not documented here. But I will say that I've kept pretty consistent notes since I have been involved in this. And then I had to do some research, even to some time when I was not on the court, before I was on the court. So I'd like to kind of go through this to establish how we got to where we are today and cover this. So I'm going to cover this, starting with the ordinance, which is 0511, which is the ordinance which implemented the voluntary tax. And that was on May 17, 2005. And the Quorum Court at the time, they determined that it was time for us to start figuring out a way to pay for some type of animal control. So the initial ordinance is actually entitled Animal Welfare and Control. It's not really titled Animal Shelter, although that's part of it. It's Animal Welfare and Control because it was in its infancy at that time. One of the things that I see on a regular basis is that the people voted for this tax and then the people want, you know, justification on this. It's actually the Quorum Court that implemented this tax at the time. So they're the ones, as representatives of the people, but the Quorum Court is who implemented the voluntary tax. really there was not a lot of activity between 2005 and 2011 when the resolution was established to actually sequester it. You know, it started off the first couple of years. The tax brought in $40,000, $50,000. It worked its way up to $60,000 or $70,000 through the first few years. And then it started to get a track record where it was bringing in around $100,000 a year for a number of years. I think it's peaked at about $145,000 and has been bringing in over $100,000 a year since then, to the point now we're at $1.5 million, I think 1.528, if I remember, I'm going by memory here from the last Treasurer's report, but we're $1.5 million and some change over that number now. The purpose of the sequestering the funds on October the 18th, 2011, the Quorum Court went into Resolution 1108 to sequester the fund until it reached $1.5 million. The reason for that is that at the time, the Quorum Court had an estimate, and you look at this, this 2011, and we're in 2019, and we had this estimate before, so it's at least a 10-year-old estimate at the time. But the estimate that we were receiving is that if we were to build a shelter in that day, it would be about $1.5 million to build a shelter. Is that an accurate number? I'm not really sure where that number came from. There was the previous court had some preliminary drawings and some preliminary estimates, but they were very, very preliminary. So the number at $1.5 million is where we sequestered it because that's the number that we had. But the reason that the court sequestered it is that on a regular basis, the Courts and Public Safety Committee was having constituents come in and say, you know, this is going to take forever for us to do this. Little did they know, but it was going to take a while for us to get there. And so, you know, we have a need now. And if we just had, if we could just get $5,000 for this entity, for this animal interest group, they could solve part of our problem. I said, well, okay, you know, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's think about it. And then the next meeting, somebody would come into Courts and Public Safety and say, if I just had $10,000, and then if I just had $40,000, and if I just had $50,000, and we started doing the math, and we were only bringing in $60,000 or $70,000 at that time, we were going backwards to support a lot of these groups. And I'm not saying that they weren't valid and that what they were asking for was not valid, but you had to look at the financial aspect of it, and for us to grow the account to the point where we could get to, at that time we thought was $1.5 million, we went into resolution, established resolution and sequestered the money at $1.5 million. Again, I mentioned in Courts and Public Safety Committee a few minutes earlier that I disagree with Councilor Ho. He says, well, a resolution is only worth the paper that it's written on. And I disagree with that. A resolution is an agreement among the Quorum Court members. They're giving their word that this is the direction that they want to go. That doesn't mean that they can't later determine that they want to go a different direction if they all agree to. But that was a commitment that was important enough that the court at the time went into a resolution to sequester it. So a lot of people say, well, you're not allowed to spend it. We can resolve to change that, but that's why it's in place at this point. The next item on the timeline is June 8th, 2013, was really the first meeting that we had a working committee to address the Faulkner County Animal Shelter. This was called by Faulkner County Judge at the time, Alan Dodson, and he established an ad hoc working committee to hold discussions regarding animal control in Faulkner County. So this is where the animal shelter fund, the animal control fund, was starting to develop. I can remember, it may have even been Justice Tessing. He had a pinch to ramble sometimes, and he made a comment about when this fund gets to $1 million, you know, we're going to have to really get serious about this. And it was approaching $1 million at that time. We were in the $800,000. So we started meeting. The members of the original ad hoc group, Judge Dodson had called this. He called me as the chair of the Courts and Public Safety Committee, Conway Police Chief A.J. Gary, the director of the Animal Welfare Unit, Sean Osborne, County Attorney David Hogue, Faye Conville, who was a member of the county judge's staff at the time, Chief Deputy Matt Rice had come into several meetings representing the sheriff's office. Later, when County Administrator Tom Anderson was hired, he joined our meetings. And also Conway Chief of Staff Jack Bell attended several meetings. So there were a number of meetings. Over a period of the next year and a half, we probably met 10 or 12 times. I had notes on each one of those, but I counted up 10 or 12 times. And this is where the county first started really learning about what we needed to know. So the saying that we said in these meetings often was, we don't know what we don't know. So we need to learn what we don't know so that we can start acting on it. So that was kind of the genesis of we need to start acting on that. In November 20th of 2013, Ordinance 1322 is passed, and that was the Animal Control Ordinance. So one of the things that we determined from the working group, the ad hoc working group, was we don't even have a set of rules. At that time, we had four or five animal control ordinances, and they addressed specific areas. So one of them, for example, how many people can remember the safari park in Greenbrier? That actually had lions and tigers and bears at the safari park. So we had a lion escape at one point. Andy, you probably remember that. You were a deputy then. We had a lion. And so we developed an ordinance, an animal control ordinance, to deal with lions and tigers and bears. And so we had that one, and we had a couple of other ordinances, and they were very disjointed. And so that group is what started the genesis of we've got to start working on an animal control ordinance, which developed into Ordinance 1322. And it's one line item here, and it says November 20th, animal control ordinance was passed. There were dozens and dozens of quorum court meetings, courts and public safety committee meetings, meetings with the city of Conway, meetings with a number of people as we developed our animal control ordinance. And we had members of the community come in, just like people are here now, from the county, from rural parts of the county, who were against any type of animal control. They live in the county for a reason. And they if they wanted a lot of, and I'm repeating what we heard, but if we want a lot of city rules, they would live in the city. They would live in Conway. And so we still hear that today, a lot of the responses we hear. And so we had an animal control ordinance that is not a leash law, but it is in our animal control ordinance. It does have provisions that owners are supposed to be held accountable for their animals on their property. It gave the sheriff's department teeth so that they can start writing citations, which is something they did not have the ability to do at that time. So they can write citations. But part of the hole in the animal control ordinance is if you write a violator a citation, and I don't have the ordinance in front of me, and I don't actually remember the first fine, but it's a relatively low fine, the first one. And this is just kind of get their attention. You know, your dog is getting in your neighbor's trash, or it's chasing your neighbor's cows, or whatever it may be doing, and you're going to get a fine. The next fine was a little more costly. The third fine was supposed to be enough to where, you know, really, if you're going to let your dog run free, it would be cheaper for you to go buy a fence than it would be to pay this fine. And then the final step was the sheriff's department would probably need to go lay hands on that animal. Well, guess what? How do they do that? We made no provisions in the ordinance for the sheriff's department to be able to do that, and there was no shelter for them to take that to. So it really handicapped the sheriff's office to be able to do that. But it was a first step, and it was the building block for us to be able to move forward. And be honest with you, this animal control ordinance has held up pretty well. I'll note also that there was a, in January, just shortly thereafter, Ordinance 1402 was an amendment to the original ordinance. The health department reached out to Councilor Hogue and I and said, you got an issue with a section, actually it was Section 6, the rabies part. We had provisions in the original animal control ordinance where owners could give their animals, their dogs and cats, their own rabies shots. It seems that at the time some people have livestock, they do that. They give shots to their own livestock. We were not aware that there's actually a state law that requires a licensed veterinarian to give rabies shots. Again, we didn't know what we didn't know. The health department brought to our attention. We had a couple of meetings with them. And we made this amendment so that we could actually abide by the state law. And I think the amendment's real simple. It says, we're going to abide by the state law. And so as you've heard Hogue say, we don't like to write a lot of redundant ordinances. If we're going to abide by state law, let's just say that we're going to follow that. So that was the purpose of that. Then in 2014, we really had, later in 2014, so that was in January, so later, just 6 months later, we had a significant event in Faulkner County. And that was the devastating tornado that went through Valonia and Mayflower, actually Mayflower, then Valonia. And at that particular time that it happened, my wife was actually having surgery that day, and so I was in Little Rock at UAMS and dealing with the surgery and you know, was concerned about that. And believe it or not, while she's in surgery, I started getting calls about animal issues. And so while the sheriff's department was down there saving people's lives and trying to rescue people, there was some people from the animal interest community that wanted to come in and deal with that as well, to save animals. There's houses that were just demolished. There's lots of animals running around. And so there was a concern about that. What we did not have in place, though, is we had no organized ability with the Office of Emergency Management or our emergency response plan to deal with small animals. We have an emergency plan to deal with livestock. Faulkner County heretofore has been a mostly rural county, and we've grown a lot in the last decade, and so we're probably less rural than we were at that time. And so there was not a provision for that. So lots of concerns. We had the thing that impressed me most was we had a lot of people that came to volunteer, not only from around Faulkner County, but from outside the county, from outside the state. We had the STAR group come in and really try to work to help with this issue, and we had no organizational structure. And quite frankly, it caused some issues with the sheriff's office and with the county judge's office, because they had no provisions to deal with this. And again, they're trying to deal with saving lives of people and dealing with people who families who had lost loved ones. I mean, we had some casualties where people lost loved ones. And then the animal interest community, they're in here kind of in the backside of this, and it was a hindrance. And that's because there was no structure. So at that point, several people raised their hand and started saying, we've got to fix this. One of those was Dr. Catherine Swift, that reached out to me as the chair of the Courts and Public Safety Committee. And we spent some time having meetings. How can we fix this? We talked with Judge Dodson as things settled down. We talked with Sheila about it as well. How can we do something, develop a plan, and add it to the emergency response plan? One of the first things that Dr. Swift did is offer some training classes for quorum court members. I'm pleased to say that all of the Courts and Public Safety Committee members at that time actually went to UCA and took these particular courses that I have listed here. It was Animals in Disaster Awareness and Preparedness. It was about a 4.5-hour course, FEMA course. Also Animals in Disaster Community Planning. And those were the first baby steps that we started working on to move forward with this. So we had our animal ordinance, our animal control ordinance, and then we had this other issue that just popped up out of the blue, which is the disaster thing. The importance of the disaster planning is that we actually formed a group to start working on that plan. So Dr. Swift helped with that. Ms. Donna Clausen stepped up and actually co-chaired that with Dr. Swift. And they started working on that particular plan, and it brought the animal interest community in to get them engaged with helping solve this problem. And so on June 9th, we actually started the committee after, so we had the tornado was actually in April, I believe, is when the actual tornado was. So it was in June. So it was shortly thereafter the tornado we started working on this. And I worked as the liaison with that particular committee. Sheila worked as liaison with them and worked with them hand in hand, but also was liaison to the county judge, reporting back to them. It went back and forth until we developed that, till it was acceptable. And then on November the 12th, Faulkner County Judge Alan Dodson actually signed the document as part of the Faulkner County Emergency Response Plan. And it is a, I don't know what it's really called, a chapter. Sheila, what's it called? It's a section? An annex. That's right. That's right. So it's actually part of the plan, and we have a plan that should we have another unfortunate situation, we can actually mobilize a group, and we have rules that we can go by. So that was a big plus with that. I'll move down to in March 17, 2015, there was a proposed resolution that Justice Good alluded to that we brought forth. This is where we started talking about how can we fund operating costs for the shelter. We knew by then we were starting to get up. We were over that $1 million. How can we do that? And so a lot of people say, well, you know, that mean old quorum court's always voting this stuff down. And at this point, it does seem that way. But the point is, we've been trying to address it. The previous courts have been trying to work it. Not all of them have been successful. But at least they have been trying to turn and figure out ways to do this. That you know, there were some positive aspects of this one, and there were some negative aspects of it. At the end of the day, this particular proposal did not win. August 19, 2015, Judge Baker was in office then, and he brought the ad hoc working group back together, utilizing a lot of the group that originally had started under Judge Dodson. As I look through here, I was on that particular ad hoc working group. Jack Bell from the city was there, A.J. Gary, which later transitioned to Jody Spradlin when Chief Gary moved on to another position. Sean Osborne was involved in it, Tom Anderson, David Hogue, Faye Conville as well. And it was during this time, and we had a number of committee meetings, but it was during this time that several of the committee members started, and it's really not committees, a working group. So the working group started doing tours of various facilities. I know I was involved in going to Washington County with, I think there was three or four of us that drove up there and spent the day touring Washington County. We also went to Garland County and worked with them. We went to Sebastian County. We went to the Animal Village in Little Rock. We also went to the North Little Rock facility and met with Billy Grace and his team. So we were starting to gather data and look at various facilities. We had, from my perspective, we had some that we liked and some ideas that we really liked. We had some others that, not so much, you know, that we really didn't like. I can remember probably the thing that really interests me the most in Washington County is they have a very nice facility. But what is the biggest city in Washington County? Any of you guys know?
Fayetteville.
Fayetteville also has a shelter. So we actually, the group that went to visit Washington County, there was a couple of us from the city, Tom Anderson and I representing the county, and a couple from the city that went up there. And when we got out of the vehicle, we introduced ourselves to the people that were giving us the tour. They looked at us kind of funny, and they said, so we have people from Faulkner County and from the city of Conway. Did y'all ride up in the vehicle together? And we looked at them and said, why, yes. And they said, we're not even sure we could get in the same room together. And so that was a kind of a deal of that was interesting that the city of Conway and Faulkner County was willing to have discussions and talk about trying to solve a problem. And early on, both with Judge Dodson and Judge Baker, we've included the city to talk about that. So when we talk about things like, well, you know, we're going to partner with the city, we're not going to partner with the city, we don't know. This was part of that learning what we don't know. Trying to figure out what we don't know, we learned that in Washington County, it didn't work. We learned in Garland County, they partner very, very well. Garland County and the city of Hot Springs, they have a partnership where that works very well. So we know that it can work, and we know that in other areas it doesn't work. So those were some of the things that we learned. Let me see. January the 12th, 2016, Courts and Public Safety Committee sponsored a public forum to discuss animal welfare. And approximately 40 people showed up for that meeting. We started to really get the community to try to get them involved. One of the things that I learned the more that we engage the animal community is that the animal interest community has been fighting this battle for a long time. Nobody doubts that. And oftentimes, the various organizations don't get along. And so at this particular meeting, I started asking those questions, why is that? And I think the key answer is, these folks, these passionate folks who have been working on this, they have been competing for limited resources for so long that oftentimes there's conflict there. There's conflict. That doesn't mean that they don't like animals or they don't like their way of spay and neuter people are right and the rescue people are wrong and all that. It just means that they have just been in competition with one another. That was one of the things that we learned. And so it goes back to why did we want to start working with a advisory group? And the group that worked on the emergency response plan did an excellent job. And that went so well and everything that we look back at this and maybe that's what we need to do. Instead of bringing 100 people into the room and from a elected person's perspective who is not well versed on this and everything, it's noise. We're hearing a lot of noise. But if we could fine-tune it to a little closer group, maybe that could help advise us. I'm just sharing with you, that's how the advisory group, really kind of how that idea developed. So it really kind of started as we started working on that on January the 12th. On February the 9th, 2016, the Faulkner County Animal Shelter Advisory Board provided a written charter to the Courts and Public Safety Committee. We kind of started utilizing it then and utilizing that group, the advisory board, to advise us and give us input. And they did. They started giving us information and sharing information that we nobody on the court at the time, I'm not sure that there are any now, that are really experts in this. And there are experts in this room that are sitting out here that can share that information with us. April 4th, 2016, we actually had a meeting with city officials on animal welfare. This was one that I facilitated, and we brought in representatives from all of the cities from around Faulkner County to talk about their needs as well. Those who attended this meeting included, as I chaired that meeting, the Greenbrier Mayor, Sammy Joe Hartwick, the Wooster Mayor, Terry Robinson, Sam Higdon from Guy, Randy Holland from Mayflower, also the police chief from Mayflower, Robert Alcom, Jack Bell, the Conway Chief of Staff, Jody Spradlin, the Chief of Police in Conway, Sean Osborne was there, and Tom Anderson represented the county judge's office. And at that meeting, we talked a great deal about the needs that the city of Greenbrier and the city of Valonia and the city of Guy that they had, because heretofore, we really had only been working on the unincorporated part of the county. We knew that the city of Conway was kind of doing their thing and talking to them, but we weren't talking to the city. We learned in that meeting, you know what? The city of Greenbrier has issues. The city of Valonia has issues. Mayflower has issues, and Mayflower had actually stepped out and was working to resolve their issues independently. So, you know, good for them with the limited resources they had. So we knew that we could start really addressing this issue. We could get more people involved with that. September the 21st was Ordinance 1629 was passed. That was the ordinance where we appropriated $30,000 at the request of Judge Baker. That would be coming from the Animal Control and Welfare Fund so that he could use that to conduct one or more studies on the feasibility and location of an animal shelter. So what we did is we freed up some money, if he needed that, to spend on whatever, design, architects, various issues with that. So that was, again, that was something that the judge asked for and the quorum court approved. July the 13th, 2017, there was a joint city-county meeting to discuss the animal shelter. This was held at City Hall. Let me look here. Judge Baker was there, as well as County Administrator Tom Anderson and David Hogue and myself representing the county. And the city of Conway, Mayor Castleberry was brand new, relatively new at that point. So we were bringing him up to speed on the issue, as well as Chief of Staff Jack Bell, County Attorney Chuck Clausen, and Purchasing Manager Jamie Bryce at this meeting. So we really started talking then about working together and the feasibility. You know, one of the things that I learned from that meeting, county government and city government are different. County government is a product of the Constitution. City government is a product of the legislature. There are rules that are different. So it doesn't mean that we can't work together, but there are nuances that oftentimes make it difficult. So that was a lot of discussion that we learned. How can we work through some of these challenges? So on October 31st, again, these come from my notes, but on October 31st, 2017, I was invited to participate in a tour of the building on South German Lane that we eventually purchased. Judge Baker had reached out to me and asked if we could walk through that. We invited Donna Clausen, as well as Tom Anderson, and we walked through that building and discussed it and looked at it. And there were some challenges with that building that we discussed. There was also opportunity with that building. I really won't go into that. That's probably for another discussion. But there were some things that we discussed. Looked at it, appraised for, I believe, $650,000. The judge indicated that he could get it for potentially $500,000. So we talked about it. At the judge's request, I brought it up to the Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting, and we talked about it at length. And I want to talk about this for a second, because that was an attempt to help solve the problem that, you know, didn't work out. So we admit that, but there had been some misinformation about this that, quite frankly, is just not true. So some of the things that we talked about when we were going through this before it was ever voted, so we did bring the Animal Interest Committee, the advisory committee in to give them a view on this and some input. Judge Baker said up front that if we buy this piece of property, that we're probably not going to be able to move into it as far as for an animal shelter for 2 to 3 years because we still had the operating cost issue to deal with that we had not been able to resolve. He said that, you know, maybe we can rent that money. I remember having the conversation of if we rent the building to whoever, we could take the rent money and it would go into the animal shelter fund so that they could actually make some money. I remember specifically asking the treasurer, if we rented it, how much would it take where we're making more money than the interest that it's making? And we had some issues, some numbers that we kind of came up with there. It really sounded like an opportunity for a win-win, but we talked about these way ahead of time. After we purchased the property, the judge said, you know, we need to rent that out. Sheriff Riles raised his hand and said, I'd like to rent that out. And at that point, the quorum court had done their part. We voted to appropriate the money to buy this property for a future animal shelter. At that point, for those of y'all that don't know, all property in the county falls under the purview of the county judge. So the county judge and the sheriff worked out the arrangement. The sheriff was renting a piece of property from another entity. That lease was up. It was across town. It wasn't convenient. This piece of property was convenient. And with the money going into the animal shelter fund, it was a win for the sheriff's office. It was a win for the animal shelter fund. And there was a 2-year lease, which fell within the timeline that Judge Baker had talked about. I'll stop there and say this is where rumors kind of get them up. The sheriff's department did not steal that building. The sheriff's department raised his hand and said, if somebody's going to rent it, I'd just as soon rent it. And I'll pay the price for it. He was at that time paying about $20,000 for the rent that he was paying. We agreed that that would be an acceptable amount. I say we, the judge actually agreed that much. It was more, significantly more than we're making on the interest that they were making in the bank on that $500,000. The money was not misappropriated. The building was still an asset of the Animal Control Fund. So $500,000 came out of that fund to buy that building, but the $500,000 asset that building was still belonged to the Animal Shelter Fund. There was no misappropriation of funds. Nobody stole any money. Nobody took anything. At a short time later, with some feedback from the advisory committee and the animal interest community, it was determined that building's not going to work. The quorum court are the representatives, so we got a lot of feedback. So those of us on the court, I'll say we got a lot of feedback just as good.
Yes, sir, we did.
So we got a lot of feedback on that. And so, again, after talking with Judge Baker, the decision was made that building's not going to work. That building's not going to work for the animal shelter. The quorum court then, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but went into a resolution, which is a commitment. It is worth more than the paper that it's written on, that we would in turn refund that money back to the animal control fund, the animal shelter fund, and that we would do something else. We would go to plan B or C or D or E, whichever plan we're on these days, but we were going to do something different because that particular plan was not going to work. The problem was, though, is that we had to wait until we had money for capital expenditure to do that. So I'm going to come back and visit that in just a moment. But I really want to spend some time there because there's been a lot of misinformation. And this is mainly for you court members that's what that was about. That was a very honest effort to make something happen. That, you know what? It didn't work out, and we made it right. Okay. November 14th, ordinance was passed. We actually passed to purchase that building. June 19th, 2018, proposed ordinance 1811. This was an appropriation attempt to pull $400,000 out of the sequester money. There's a long story. This one is complicated. So I'm going to talk to the quorum court members here for a second. So there was a millage passed some years ago, and that millage was for the purpose of building Unit 2. Okay? And when they passed that millage, it was before my time on the court, when they passed that millage, at that point it raised $1 million a year. And so we were in a critical situation with our jail at that time. We were all critical situation. And so the court, along working with the sheriff at the time, working with the county judge, determined we had to build Unit 2. So the millage was set aside for Unit 2, $1 million a year. There are some nuances about capital expenditures. when you build buildings for the county, one of the things is that you have to be able to pay. If you take out money, you have to be able to pay it off in 5 years. There are things like, if I remember from Justice Hogue telling me, you have to be able to pay half down when you're building a capital expenditure building. Don't hold me to that, but I think that's something that sounds right. And so this was about a $6 or $7 million project. So $1 million a year is what they had set aside for this millage tax that they did. So they had $1 million. The next year they set aside $1 million. They sequestered it. The next year they sequestered $1 million. We've got $3 million. And that's about enough we can go ahead and start the project. So they started the project. It took about a year to build. They have $4 million. At the end of the project, they owed a couple of $1 million on it. So guess what? It took a couple of years to pay that off. And now Unit 2 is paid for. At the end of that project, we've got another critical issue that was identified. And that critical issue was the courthouse where we normally meet, that was built in 1936, was designed for 2 or 3 circuit judges. We've got 5 working out of that. And we're working out of a church across the street, and there's cramped, and there's security issues, and there's just lots of issues. So the judge, county judge at the time, working with the circuit judges, started working on a plan to a replacement for the courthouse. There was a lot of discussion. The outcome of that turned out to be this building, the Justice Building. This was about an $11 million project. So we had that $1 million that was already being sequestered. So we set aside $1 million and for 1 year and another $1 million. So it took 5 years to do $5 million. Started on the project. At the end, took about a year to build the project. So it's $6 million. So now we owe $4 or $5 million. So we're using that sequester money for $1 million, and we paid the building off. And actually, we were able to pay it off early and save several $100,000 in interest. And we did that about a year and a half ago. The Quorum Court then at that time said, we've got a couple of issues coming up that we've got to deal with. We still have a courthouse built in 1936 that we may have to do something with at some point. Also, I mentioned that we built Unit 2 and then we built the Justice Building. Now we're 10 years down the road and we've still got some jail issues. Unit 1 is now 25 years old and has had practically no maintenance done on it. How many of you guys have a house that's 25 years old and never did any maintenance on it? So we've got some issues where we're going to have to spend some money on Unit 1. And Unit 2 was, again, before my time, but was allegedly a two-phase project. We have another phase to work on. And so based on the report that Sheriff Riles has been giving us, we know that we have some crowding issues. So we have an issue that we need to address, that original money that we sequestered, that was set aside for jail, we still sequester that for future capital expenditures. The reason I told that long story is what this particular ordinance proposed ordinance 1811, was to potentially go into that sequestered money for operating funds for the animal shelter. That's a good cause. That is a good cause. But I mentioned earlier the court had already sequestered that money for these other purposes. And does that mean that we can't talk about it? Does that mean that we can't propose an ordinance and discuss it? Yes, we can. Here's an issue that I actually take issue with. Does it mean that because I voted against this ordinance, and I did vote against it, does that mean I'm against an animal shelter? And the answer is no. The answer is you have to do your priorities, and we had already prioritized this issue, and so that particular issue was voted down. And there were some people in the community that were disappointed because we're against the animal shelter. That's just not true. We have Quorum Court members, you new members, we have a number of competing interests. So think about that. We have a number of competing interests. We have to work on that. So I'm getting close to the end.
You want to pause? Take a break?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. If you want to pause for just a second, Justice Higgins did a phenomenal job of building a timeline. And I know some of the rest of you that are on the court.
I think I have 3 left, but so go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, may have done some things as well.
Yes.
And so here's a point in time where I actually stepped in. At that point in time, I was on Courts and Public Safety. And for some of you in the audience, you may not know this, but outside of this courtroom, we can't communicate with each other about court business. Now, Randy's a friend of mine. We talk, his dad has had some issues lately. I'll call and check on his dad. My wife's had some health issues. We talk. We're friends. But we cannot talk about court business. So he had met several times with the friends group, And they had made some progress, and I said, hey, let me meet with them. Let me take a crack at meeting with them and see. So Vicki and Dan and Ms. Donna Clausen and I met in June of that year, and it was after this proposal had been defeated. And I think they were, their feelings, you know, hey, why didn't this happen? And so it was a time for me to go in and share with them, you can't take money, you can't spend money from two places twice. It's only one money. And so we had a great discussion, I think. At that time, I also gave them some other options. And I don't want to muddy the water here, but we have an emergency squad that is a volunteer squad that takes a volunteer tax. They basically run the emergency squad. I threw out a proposal that day to them. I said, would your group, if I could pass it via ordinance, would your group like to take this money and take ownership of this and y'all do it? Well, look, that's a big ask for them, for that group. And so they said, well, let us talk to some more members of our group and I'll get back with you. They chose really not to tackle it. I can't say that I blame them. But it was an attempt by the court to make something happen. I also shared with that group at that time, we were coming up on an election. I said, you can also do a petition drive to initiate a tax if you want to. I'm not for a tax because, again, I think there's money here in the county that we can fund this. But if that's something that you want to do, you can do. They really didn't want to do that. And the timing was such that it would have been a real quick turnaround to get it on the ballot. But, again, it was an option. So, again, those are some places there where, again, the court has, again, tried to fix the problem by working with the different groups throughout the county. I figured you might want to get a breath there.
Thank you.
You were doing good. So that's just one little thing that somebody else did.
Well, I appreciate that. Just so I'm on the tail end of this. You'll be glad for that. So on October the 18th, we had Resolution 1805. This was the resolution that I alluded to earlier, where we committed to give the $500,000 back that we had used to purchase the property on South German Lane. So we did that in October, made a resolution again. I believe that when a quorum court makes a resolution, it is a commitment. December the 18th, 2018, we had another proposed ordinance. This was the most recent one. This was the one to levy a 0.25 mil that would have brought forth an estimated $350,000. I don't want to rehash that whole thing, but there are those that don't support tax increases. The quorum court, there's a number of reasons. Some felt like that if we're going to do a tax increase, let the people vote. I don't want to rehash that whole thing, but the point is there was an attempt to figure out a way to fund this. This one was not successful either. Again, there are those of us that voted against it. Does that mean you're against an animal shelter? From my perspective, the answer is no. We just haven't gotten to that right point yet that we can work with this. The last point on here is on December the 18th, 2018, provisions were made in the Faulkner County budget to reimburse the funds, the $500,000. So we, in October, we had actually resolved to do so. So in the budget process, it happened, and my understanding is that $500,000, based on the last finance report that we saw in January, has been reimbursed. And so that shows that the quorum court kept its commitment, and we're through with that, and so we can move forward. So that $500,000 is back into that account. So what I will do at this point, and I know I've taken up your time, and I certainly appreciate all you court members' patience, but if you have any questions or anything about this, about timelines or any of this, now would be the time to bring that up.
Rosie? Hi, so I'm Justice Rowland, District 5. In a nutshell, what I want to make clear is that what we do know, we have 1.5 tax that has been collected for an animal shelter or for animal control, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we do not have the funds to operate this facility under County General. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then, and we also have never had a plan in place. So we have, which a lot of members, from what I understand, have been opposed to implementing a animal shelter when there has not been a plan in place.
So you know, I'll address that a little bit. So just from a business perspective, when you're developing a business plan, and it's kind of been a little bit the chicken and the egg. part of the issue with the operating cost is that is the concern that the city has, is they really want to know that we're committed to the operating cost of that. So they've been kind of hands-off until we can commit to that. That's been a stumbling block. Also, though, if you're going to go forward and figure out how much money you need in operating costs, we talked about it in courts and public safety earlier. How big of a shelter do you need? What is the shelter going to do? What are the services that it is going to provide? And so that would help determine, you know, are we going to provide animal enforcement in the county or not? I mean, there's different levels of that. Do we just respond, or is it going to be a surrender type of shelter? And so that impacts operating costs. So we've seen, that's why we've seen operating costs estimated from $300,000, $325,000 to as high as $600,000. And it's like, well, what's the difference between the two? It depends on the services that that would provide.
So not knowing the needs that we have currently in the county, and it's a large county, so we assume there is somewhat of a large need. Do we have any kind of stats from past experiences of the sheriff going out that if he was able to, he could have picked up that animal? Do we know how many on an annual basis approximately that we would be picking up and sheltering?
So I'll answer that. We've seen data from time to time that the sheriff has shown us how many animal calls he's running.
But that doesn't that includes all animal calls?
That's right.
Whether you're bothering my neighbor?
That's right.
Okay.
And I don't want to speak for the sheriff. I know he's here, but I know that he keeps statistics on how many animal calls you run. Correct, Sheriff?
That's correct.
Thank you.
What we do have, and I'll interject this, what we do have is facts what Conway spent on their animal shelter last year. And it was approximately $600,000 to run their shelter. Well, we've kind of determined if we go in with them, we sure be responsible for half of it if we go in with them. So that's just where that sits. I mean, we're the city of Greenbrier, Bologna, Worcester, Mayflower, as mayors have committed, that they would help on a pro rata share. They don't have no big monies neither, but they would support it on a pro rata share. I mean, animals get picked up, Mayflower and Greenbrier, whatever, they're going to pay, and they've committed that. That's just preliminary talk, that's all.
Right.
But we have to know, are we going to partner with the city before we know if that half of their expense is right, and we don't know that. You know, I ran into the county judge from Washington County last week in Little Rock at an event, and Washington County is a little bigger than Faulkner County, but their budget this year is $750,000.
And that's so only the county, because Fayetteville has.
That's only the county, because Fayetteville has a shelter, and the city of Springdale, which is also in Washington County, is getting ready to build a shelter. So just Washington County alone is spending $750,000. Well, you know, and again, one of the things that the Friends group has consistently told us, well, $400,000. Well, that probably is not right now. I mean, you know, just in talking to him, it may not be right. We don't know. So, you know, that we have to know if we're partnering with the city of Conway. And, you know, again, just to pause and let everybody take a breath, if you're here tonight, I'm just going to do a Justice Boyer informal poll. And if you're not from Faulkner County, I don't want you to respond. But if you're from Faulkner County, are you for partnering with the city? Yes or no? Okay. Are you not for partnering with the city? So, see, just in this group, there's a difference of opinion, and some of you didn't raise either hand, so maybe you don't know yet. And that's fine, because guess what? We don't know yet. But that's a question that we have to determine as a county before we can go forward.
Okay.
I went to Washington County and looked at their facility. Biggest problem they've got is the city delivering dogs to them. This dog is a county dog. It don't belong to city shelter. We don't need that here. In all fairness, we don't need to start something like that. This is a county dog. You take it. Picked up it out here at the Dairy Queen. But my biggest, from going and looking at Washington County, was I don't think the taxpayer of Faulkner County would have to pay for two. That's just my thing. I just don't think you ought to have to pay for two facilities. Duplicating tasks, stuff of this nature. And then the question town calls down, well, this is not a county dog. It was a city dog and ended up at the county shelter. People called and also, let's eliminate, I'd like to see us eliminate that on the front end.
So, Judge Baker, I think that's just being good stewards of the taxpayers' money.
Taxpayers' money.
That's right.
I don't see us supporting two. If it comes down to it, I don't see ours being near as big as we'd like to see it. So, a joint venture. And to answer Justice Goode's question, the mayor's committed to me, when you can fund your part of it, we'll talk. I mean, it's all on us if it's going to drive forward. But I don't have the answer whether the city council will vote to join forces. I can't say they will. But the mayor's committed to try to join forces. He'd like to have some relief on his dog children. Mm-hmm. And he sees it as a way of doing that. But I wasn't going to say a word.
No, I appreciate it. Justice Kendrick?
You know, just a second, because I feel like we've tunnel visioned so much into this animal shelter that we have to do this. The ordinance 511 reads, and this is from Section 3, and this is just part of it, that this voluntary tax was for support and operation of programs sponsored by the Faulkner County concerning animal welfare and control. And as I stated earlier in the courts and public safety meeting, I feel like that this problem, we're trying to do everything all at once, and maybe it's better to break it up into some sizable chunks that we can actually accomplish instead of focusing on doing the whole thing. And one of those aspects would be animal control. The other one would be looking at an animal shelter. The other one would be looking at a spay and neuter program. And instead of the county necessarily taking that on, I do think that's a worthy discussion to have and potentially partnering with the city. But I know other counties, and specifically, I stated this earlier, so if you were here earlier, I apologize, I'm repeating myself. But, you know, other counties such as Pulaski, they've contracted with cities within their county. There's also options to potentially partner with 501c3s that are out there doing that, potentially some of the larger rescues. And looking at potentially, partnering, but more like contracting. So instead of signing, we're going to take half these costs, we pay you a set amount per year, whatever that may be, whatever we might determine for animal control or for taking dogs from the county to a city or to the 501c3 rescue. And then the spay and neuter, too, to me that seems like something that we could partner with potentially the Humane Society, because I went and visited with Companions, which their main bread and butter is a spay and neuter clinic. I don't see a reason why we couldn't potentially partner with them to set up a weekend or potentially give them grants from this voluntary fund. And everything I'm talking about is from this voluntary fund, so existing things, to potentially do some things now. And that wouldn't take a long time to determine. And looking at those other options, I just feel like those are worthy of discussion. And we've been so tunnel visioned on the county has to build this, that has to do this. Maybe they do, maybe long term, but maybe the short term answer is looking at some of these other things that are other options from raising taxes and taking on this monstrous effort that we haven't done before, and it's new territory for us. So that's just something I kind of wanted to throw out there because it was part of the discussion earlier for courts and public safety. But I'm just trying to keep an open mind that maybe there's more than one way to address this, of the county taking on this monstrous beast, if we can potentially break it down into more solvable things. And I'm looking at contracting and some other options instead of just saying we're going to do this and we're going to raise taxes, because everything I hear, you know, talking about $700,000 or even the county or Conway spending $600,000, I would assume that number is going to go up because they're going to have to expand their operations to take on all these county animals. So you're not looking at $600,000. That money is just morphed. And from all the discussions that I've sit in on the quorum court, you know, that voluntary tax only brings in $100,000 to $140,000 a year. That's if you're spending $400,000, that's maybe a quarter of that money, and it could be more than that. So I think we have to be cognizant of raising taxes on the taxpayers and look at solutions that we could potentially implement on a quick timeline, because I do think there are things that we can do that we don't have to sit around here. And I think that our situation is different than past quorum courts, because that fund has been able to build to a point that it gives us some options that weren't there in the past.
No, you're exactly right. That is one of the issues that there are times past it. The county judge could have called a special meeting like this tonight, and maybe three or four JPs would have showed up, because the fund was not in a position to actually move on it. We're not in that place today. We're in a completely different place. So that's a good observation. You know, I'll also note that when we talk about one shelter or two shelters, I mean, we've got a county jail or two county jails, but with the county runs a jail. You know, when somebody gets arrested for DWI, they're not concerned about whether they're going to a county jail or a city jail or something like that. They're going to jail, and you know, to make sure that they're being taken care of appropriately. I think it's the same thing with the animals. They need to be going to a shelter where they're taken care of, and to have a city shelter and a county shelter and a city director and a county director and a city this, and say, I think it's a duplication of effort. And I'm talking about this strictly from a business and a taxpayer perspective. There may be some operational issues that are different, but I will take something else. We don't have the area of expertise, and the city of Conway does have a level of expertise that we don't have because they run a shelter.
Well, if I may, I'd also say, in conjunction with what Chris was saying, it will give us an opportunity to see what the caseload is, if you will. And so if we could do something now with plans on building a shelter in the future, because we know that that's going to, even if we decided tonight, we're going to build a shelter right now. We're going to start tomorrow, break ground. That's going to take time. That's just going to take a lot of time, and we have a problem now. So if we could do something that would alleviate some of the problems that are occurring now, it would give us a little bit of experience of working with some other shelters, such as the city or even Mayflower, Greenbrier. It would also give us some data, which I think is what we're lacking, on what kind of need that we have for facility. Do we need a small facility or do we need a Taj Mahal facility? It could go either way.
Well, there's some, again, speaking with some of the licensing people that I've dealt with at the National Association of Counties that Judge Baker and I attended earlier this summer, they ran some demographic numbers for us based on the number of households in Faulkner County, subtracting the city of Conway. And I was impressed with these groups that gave the demographics of how many animals they anticipate that we would have for licensing purposes. And that demographic could also be used for other purposes as well. Again, that was not official. That was just kind of giving me some estimates. But the estimates are is that the county would probably run a few more animals than what the city does for the first year. There would be a peak because we know there's a lot of animals out there. And then we probably, if we were to build a shelter or develop a plan, we wouldn't develop the plan based on the peak. We would develop it based on the backside of that peak because that's going to be a more realistic number that we would see on an annual basis. Knowing that as the county grows, we would have a growth opportunity in there as well. But you're right. There's some data that we don't have that would help us make some of these intelligent decisions. Okay, any other questions? More questions from the court?
A lot of information for you new guys and gals to absorb tonight. But anybody else have anything?
Some of us old ones gain some, too.
There you go.
Don't eliminate the old ones.
There you go. Well, Justice Higgins, at this time, I mean, it's eight. We spent, you, of course, the public safety members have spent 2 hours here. Everybody else has spent an hour. Would you entertain maybe 10 minutes or so of input from our audience?
Absolutely. So, do you want to facilitate that? Do you want me to facilitate that?
I'll facilitate.
Yeah, my suggestion, you're just as good as people do speak to us. Typically, how I do it in courts and public safety, identify themselves.
Yep.
And really, something that I would like to do is tell us who your JP is. If you don't know who your JP is, kind of tell us what part of the county you live in. We can probably figure it out. One of the things that we really want to work on this year, I think, is to link people with their JP.
Absolutely.
And I want to tell constituents in the county that I appreciate folks all over the county that reach out to me, the city of Conway and everything. But honestly, I represent District 2, which is the Greenbrier community. And that's I'm really looking forward to hearing from my constituents and those kinds of things. So if you're reaching out to me from Valonia, I always respond to emails and messages and everything. But part of my response is going to be, you need to call Steve Good and reach out to him. So that's one of the things. If you do want to speak tonight, please do. Just kind of let us know what part of the county in so that we know what area we're looking at. So, Steve,
I had a list of some folks calling said they wanted to address it, but it's at the office. But But I do know the first person on that list was Donna Clausen. If you don't mind, would you recognize her?
Miss Donna is sick. She's home.
Okay, well, my list is off.
Susan, you going to speak for her?
You got somebody here. But that'll end my obligation.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to answer the question that you asked, Justice Goode. You said you wondered where we came up with the $350,000. What we did was looked at the census of Washington County in 2005 and again in 2010. We compared that to the census of Faulkner County in 2005 and 2010. We saw that Washington County has about 55% more people than we have. So we basically took the $750,000 that they said that they needed for operating expenses, and we halved it since our population is about half. Right. That's how we came up with
and that. That's a great way to do that, because really we don't know.
We don't know.
I will
and
tell
it
you
would
that.
Depend on the services they sure. offer, like you said. Is it a surrender shelter? Is it a ACOs go out into the county? You know, a lot of factors matter there. And we, you know, I'm not sure what their services are now compared to when we talked to them.
Sure.
A couple of years ago.
And that's something that I'm not sure. I will tell you, it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the things that Judge Wood is most proud of up there is he's actually cut that amount from $1 million when he took over as county judge. They were spending $1 million a year, and he's been able to cut it back to $750,000.
Yeah.
So he's reduced their spending.
I happen to know that the city of Conway's budget has been $600,000 for their shelter, but I think this last year they didn't use much over $500,000.
Okay.
So they cut theirs sure. back somehow or other, and they also made improvements to their building.
Very good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Do you know who your JP is?
I certainly do. It's Justice Boyd.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let me say this, we want your input tonight. I'm going to even go a little bit further than Justice Higgins went. I get very pleasant emails from most everybody in Faulkner County. I get some downright nasty ones from some folks outside of Faulkner County. And really, you know, if you're here tonight, you're not from Faulkner County. I appreciate your interest in Faulkner County, but we don't serve you. And so we really want to hear from you tonight if you're from Faulkner County. If you want to talk to me afterwards and you're not, as long as you don't dog cuss me, no pun intended, I'll be happy to visit with you. But, you know, the nastiness seems to come from outside the county, looking in, trying to help us manage our county. So anybody else have a question or some input you'd like to give us tonight? Dan? Who's your JP?
Zach, I believe. I live on Donald Ridge, close to Lolly Bottom.
There you
yes,
go.
Sir.
God's country.
Don't be throwing a curveball at your professor.
No, sir.
And thinking away the way we've approached some of this, is, forgive the pun, but it's kind of the tail wagging the dog. And we're trying to define the shelter size and the shelter potential without really identifying the size of the problem first. And I think Randy was in line. He's mentioned software or demographic surveys that can tell us, within reason, the size of the number of dogs and or cats out there and what we can expect. And comparing it to a city that's had an existing program for a number of years is not an accurate way to approach this. The city of Conway has been processing animals for a number of years. You're not going to find many dogs and cats running around here stray. If you do, one of these ladies, one of these gentlemen, are probably going to pick it up long before the shelter crew gets there. But what I'm getting at is we identify the size of the problem, and we have numerous avenues in how to deal with these animals. We bring animals in. Many, many, many of these animals, particularly puppies, can actually be taken care of, vetted, meaning they get their shots, they get spayed and neutered, they get a health certificate from a vet, and a lot of these animals can actually be transported in significant volume to other states. I mean, I hear stories about transport drivers and tractor-trailer rigs pulling them up to shelters in other counties and other states. and people lined up down the street waiting for an animal because they can't get them up there. They have no access up there to strays and animals. I mean, if they have, they probably have to go to puppy mill and pay thousands of dollars for an animal. Okay. So we identify the number of animals available. We know initially we're going to get a lot of animals dumped on us quick. So in order to process the animals and get them ready for transport, we need first to determine the health of the animal. Does it have heartworms? We need to find a place to keep the animal long enough so it can be vetted. That's where a shelter comes in. That's where fosters come in. We work with fosters. We have rescues across the county that are already doing this on a large scale, but they're doing it on a shoestring budget. What I'm getting at is there is actually a known formula here as far as how we can approach how many animals we can transport, how many can we afford to transport, and at what cost. And that is very calculable. And it really depends on the maximum amount of effort, the number of people involved, more really than almost the cost. If you can recruit adequate numbers of people to foster these animals, the cost will go down significantly. But to assume we can get away without an established shelter here and without an established effort from the community is extremely naive. I mean, there's a reason you see shelters in almost every city or county across the country as opposed to some hybrid method, because it's the model that works. But if you want to get the maximum number of animals rescued and taken care of, we need to spay and neuter, which we already have to an extent. But we need to get the maximum input from people.
Thank you, Dan. Anyone else?
Doug Kennedy. I don't know who my JP is.
Tell us where you live.
Live right out the Shallow Creek States.
Put Tyler?
Yes, sir. Right here.
Kowski?
Lahosky, yes, sir.
Okay. I want to second the gentleman at the end of the table here. I like his idea. I mean, break it up. Start somewhere. Let's get this out of the hands of, you know, law enforcement so that we can get the animals gathered up and be able to do something. I mean, we break it up however we can figure it out. If that needs to be the spay and neuter, start the spay and neuter, having these fosters, having these rescues on call and ready to use them to at least start working forward with the animals itself. Because I think my situation and all the dogs that are let loose in my neighborhood wouldn't have that problem if there was someone or something to a tier to go with. Hey, I got an animal. I know who to call. Or if they call the sheriff's office just dispatches you back over to animal control or whatever we had set up. And I am naive. I don't know how any of this works. It's been thrusted on me. I've just been dogs in the yard, and they're in the yard. And what am I going to do? I can't take them to the city. Nothing I can do. I'm not going to shoot them. I'm not going to catch them and poison them or whatever. I just let them just do their thing. Now, if they are, you know, if they play with the kids in the neighborhood, there's nothing I can do. And that's what I need to do is just what can we do just to jump out there and get this going so we don't have another issue with another animal.
Thank you for your input very much. Anyone else?
Yeah,
I'll
talk.
Mr. Gregory?
My name is Bob Gregory. I live on Skunk Hollow Road, and my JP is Tyler Lahosky. And I'd like to tell you about a story that happened to my driveway today. I was sitting there minding my own business about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. White pickup truck comes down the driveway. Man gets out. I happen to know him. He lives over in the next street on Kenny Creek. He said, "Hey, are those your horses?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I got to go check them." I got all mine there. I counted them up. They're all there. That's good. So he had 2 horses in his driveway. So while you're thinking about animals, some of us might think that horses are animals too. So in your planning, that should be in there someplace. What about large animals? What about this? These were 2 animals were picked up by a person who knows what to do with the horses, and I'm sure they found the owners. He said he called the sheriff. But anyway, so in your thinking, it goes beyond dogs and cats. There are other animals out there that get abandoned and have to be taken care of. And so that's something to put in your thinking when you're putting all the plans together.
Thank you, Mr. Yes, ma'am.
From a
Data.
Real quick, just tell us who you are and where you live, or who your JP is, if you know.
Robin Stauffer, and Zach Cates is my.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ms. Conway.
Yes, ma'am.
From the data standpoint, with animal calls going to the sheriff's department, a lot of those calls are not going to the sheriff's department because those people know that they can't do anything, so instead they're calling rescue groups instead, and they're handling the problem. So the data that you're going to be getting from the sheriff's office is not going to be accurate because the large rescue groups in the county and outside the county, like the group that I help is Arkansas, and we're in Conway, but she actually lives in Plumerville, so it's but we do service the Butler County area a lot. So a lot of those animal control calls are going to the rescue groups instead of the sheriff's department. So when he says he gets 23 calls in a month, that's not going to be accurate at all because we get calls. How many calls did we get a month from Butler County?
I'm saying
guessing.
Between probably 50 to 100 between Facebook messages, emails, phone calls. We've actually, for data purposes, and for being able to go back and record it, we've actually encouraged people to text message us just so that we have something to fall back on.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sheriff, I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you know how many y'all get a month?
Oh, it varies, but if I remember correctly, on the last staff report,
that's fine. I'm putting you on the spot. I apologize. But you can bring that to our next meeting.
Just as good. I believe it was around 32, 33. It was roughly around basically an animal call day, if I remember correctly. I don't have it in front of me, but it was around.
Do you think 23?
Okay.
I didn't know if that was right. So y'all are getting more than that, didn't you?
Okay. It's
just as good. I do have one more question for the sheriff. So, Sheriff, I mentioned earlier, obviously, that we have the animal control ordinance that we hopefully helps you guys a tool to write citation and everything. And again, not to put you on the spot, but do you have any idea how many citations that you write, animal control citations?
No, I would say, I don't know.
Okay.
Because I'm absolutely guessing.
Right.
You can bring that next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yes, ma'am.
Whitney Dean, Mr. Higgins is my JP. I have had 4 animals dropped off at my house at the end of a road in the last 6 months that I've personally taken in. But I hear a lot of people say they don't want to pay taxes for a shelter. If you shop in Conway, you're paying taxes for a shelter.
Okay.
That you can't use if you live outside of Conway. So keep that in mind when you think about the taxes that you are paying, because you're paying for something you can't use. Anyway.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Ms. Dean. And I think, from my perspective at least, I just don't want to tax the taxpayers of Butler County anymore, especially when, in my opinion, we have funds within the county that just need to be moved around a little bit. So thank you very much. Somebody over here, I think, has their hand up. Maybe not? Okay, yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Donna Emmett. I don't really want to speak, but I want to speak for the victims. I live off Sunny Gap. I don't know who is the JP there, but...
Which side of Sunny Gap? East or west?
Which side?
East.
64.
East.
Yeah.
Eagle Loop.
Okay.
Yeah, east.
You're mud.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you're aware. Until you're a victim, you're not aware of how bad the vicious animals are. 60 people were killed last year. Most of our surrounding communities have banned gripper dogs, vicious dogs. I am concerned because Mr. Haven, he knows it was a stray problem. They know there's no animal shelter. So what did they do? They put a picture on Facebook 2 years ago. If this is your dog, come get it. Nobody came. The next morning, his wife was out in the field. He's almost 80 years old. That dog came and lunged at his throat, ripped his finger off. He wouldn't let go of his throat, so it ate his calf and took it off to the field to eat it. So we have vicious dogs, and people are dumping them. Nobody's looking at the public safety issue. You have an ordinance. You've been talking for an hour on the history of words. You have an ordinance that says people do A, B, and C. If you don't have a jail, where do you put them? You can't expect the sheriff to go out there, and you can't have a policy to kill animals. I was told to kill them, kill them, kill them. I wake up in the middle of the night seeing these people being ripped to shreds, and I'm hearing, kill them, kill them, kill them. You can't tell people to arm themselves and go kill animals. And you can't have the police doing it either. People get upset about killing animals. I won't kill an animal. I've got shotguns at all my doors now. I've got my concealed weapons permit. I was told to kill them, kill them, kill them. I don't want to kill them. But we have vicious dogs, and they have to be controlled. And how you can take an ordinance in all these years, say, well, we can afford that one. We can't make money on that. Well, you know, you need to take that ordinance and shred it. Because if you're not going to enforce the law, it's not a law. And then if you're not going to enforce it, you're culpable for negligence. That's my perspective. I think the county should be sued. If I was a corrections officer. Criminals have rights. They can sue the county if you don't protect them. But we are citizens, and we have rights, and we want to be protected. We should not have to go out there. We can't expect a child getting off the bus to shoot a dog. I wanted to let it go, but Mrs. Fiegel, who used to own a big chunk of this county, one day I went over to visit her. She just got out of the hospital. A little girl is walking the dog, and she's like, oh, I just love to see that. Well, guess what? Two pit bulls started chasing that girl down the street. We used to have 10, and the kill policy does work. In my neighborhood, we got 3 because the killers have been killed. I put up welded wire around my property to keep them off. So they're out there eating each other, and people are killing them. But is that the right way to do it? No, it's a civil society. We have law enforcement. Please help us.
Thank you for your input. Anyone else? Oh, yeah.
Justice Good?
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question, just for clarity. I sympathize with everybody that has been attacked, but just for clarity, she said that 60 people have been killed. Now, that's not in this county. Just
no,
for clarity,
in America.
Okay, that's U.S. That's all I wanted to make sure it was cleared and it didn't get publicized that it was here.
We had a convicted felon that was raising and training pit bulls and selling them for weapons. Didn't even make the news. Mr. Haven, when he had his leg ate off and almost died, they can't use the P word. They're out there. All the other communities have banned them. We have an animal shelter. Vicious dogs will be dumped here more.
Thank you for your input. If nobody else has anything from the audience, we'll turn back to here. One thing we didn't do, we appreciate you taking your time tonight to come very much. Everybody that did come tonight. Justice Higgins, I know that we've been a while, but I think we're at the point in the meeting that we do need to maybe start some action. And I'm not saying that these are the right things to do, but just a couple of things that really hit me tonight. Is there a way that we can get a census to have an estimate of what our problem may be? So I would like to task the county judge's office to research that and get us a census. The second thing, you know, Justice Kendrick talked about spay and neuter. Is that something that gives us some immediate relief? And if it is, you know, is that something that we bid? Is that something that we ask vets to take one Saturday a quarter and stay open? Ms. Shaddix, how long does it take to spay a typical dog?
Depends on the vet.
Depends on the vet. Give me an average. Okay, so you know,
if you do it for dogs, you're going to need to do it for cats.
I understand.
I mean, but and also,
yeah. But you know, is that something that we, you know?
I just know looking around at some surrounding counties, and specifically Pulaski, they held a weekend a month, and I don't know the frequency of that weekend,
right.
But they set aside a certain amount of money and they partnered with somebody and held that. And just the reason I mentioned companions is because I actually toured that facility, I believe, and this was a rough estimate number, but they said last year they spayed and neutered around 6,000 animals. So it seems to be their bread and butter. And not that, I mean, maybe you could bid it out, maybe you could do that. And then I think it's really imperative to get a spay and neuter program at least started or to supplement existing ones with the nonprofits, because long term, if you have a strong spay and neuter program, that's going to cut down on your number of animals. So whether you build a shelter on your own or whoever you contract with, it should cost less money long term if you establish a strong program.
What is the cost for a typical spay and neuter?
Average cost?
Do you know?
Somebody knows.
At Companions, it's about $60 for a dog that's over 50 pounds. At a vet clinic, it's $150.
Okay. So they're doing it as a service then?
Right. They have grant money.
Okay.
They are nonprofit, so they get their drugs at cost. They have volunteer staff.
Okay.
Vet clinics are for profit. And our
more
hospital areas than us just
okay.
Could you host a spay and neuter at multiple locations?
Yeah, that's you know, well, again, I and just so that y'all know, I mean, as a court, you know, we don't have the ability to go out and negotiate deals, anything like that. We can allocate money, but I would like to see the judge's office as well go out and you know, let's do a questionnaire with the vets and see how many would participate. And what their average cost would be. I mean, that again gives us some information. If we get a census, if we determine that, you know, we may have, what's their frequency, Companions?
They probably, I'd say they do about 15 a day.
Wow.
It depends on if it's dogs or cats. Okay. Cats are easier than dogs.
But it's so daily.
But it's not. And they stay booked out several weeks in advance.
So,
in while I'm talking,
yeah,
my concerns about the spay neuter and the rescue groups may want to speak to this too. We have a really good, we are lucky to have companion spay. My husband's veterinarian, and he'd probably not be happy that I'm saying this, but you know, I care about all the animals, and the Companions really does serve a lot of people that wouldn't normally spay and neuter their pet at a vet clinic, and that's fine. My concern with spay and neuter is in how we proceed is how we reach the animals that aren't going to be spayed and neutered anyway. So many of us here, we're going to spay and neuter our dogs, whether it's in a vet clinic or whether it's Companions. Those are not the animals that the rescue groups are going to tell you are the problem.
Okay.
The ones that are the problem, and you ask the frequency, I probably get one call per day
okay.
of cats. I got a call today from a lady close to Bologna, and she sent me pictures. She had 36 animals that it started a mama dog, came up and had puppies, and she's an older lady. I hear this all the time. She didn't get the dogs bathed. They had puppies. Now they're having puppies, And now she's older, and she has COPD, and she called me to take all her dogs. I can't take 36 dogs. You know?
Right.
But the problem isn't the animals that we're all going to take care of, and we're all going to get spayed and neutered. It's the ones that are out there that the rescue groups are bringing in. They're the ones that we're getting calls for that, you know, like Robin said, we get calls because we know that people aren't going to call the Sheriff's Department because the Sheriff's Department doesn't have anything to do with the animal. So they hear about rescue groups and they call us. Those are the animals that the rescue groups need assistance with in getting spayed and neutered. Those are the animals that I'm concerned about.
Where do the rescue, or this could be different for all the rescue, do the rescues typically take them to the vet? Do they partner with companion? I mean, what is a typical protocol? And I realize this probably varies depending on the group.
As a 501c3 rescue, We set certain standards for ourselves and each other, and the first thing that we do when we take an animal in is get it to a veterinarian and determine its health and get it spayed or neutered. We do not adopt out animals if they're over a certain appropriate age to be spayed and neutered unless they are spayed and neutered. Now, that's different than the city of Conway. The city of Conway has... because they're funded by a government entity, they have to abide by state laws that require any animal that they adopt to be spayed and neutered. They do have an exception if the animal is very young and they can have the animal neutered at a later date if they want to go ahead and take the animal. But typically, even 8-week-old kittens and puppies are neutered at the city shelter, again, because that's that is a state law. Rescue groups do not fall under those same state laws, but because we all try to be ethical and we're trying to stop this unending cycle, we, out of having a good conscience and trying to do the right thing, we spay and neuter any animal that we adopt.
Okay, very good. Just seconds, if I might, I do think we need to cut it pretty close, but I want to, may I do two more things?
Okay.
One, if you're a rescue group or an individual tonight, would you tell me, raise your hand real quick, if you're a rescue group or individual. So I'm going to start right here, and somebody help me count. How many do you currently have?
I'm a Maumelle Animal Service supervisor for the city of Maumelle. So I'm
You're not Butler County. Okay.
Now, but I live here.
Okay. Do you rescue here?
I do.
How many do you have that you've rescued here in Butler County?
Nine of them so far.
Nine right now tonight.
Three in tomorrow.
You're taking in nine right now?
Three.
Three.
I took nine in last week. I'm taking in three tomorrow.
Do you have nine in your possession right now?
They all got adopted.
Okay, so you got none, but you're taking three more. All right.
I'm Danny. Okay. Arkansas, but Danny would know more of our specific numbers.
How many do y'all have tonight?
Currently, we have at least 45, and about 30 of those are from Walker County.
How many of those need to be spayed and neutered?
Probably about 15.
Okay. Back to your three. You don't know you don't have them. Who else is
this? They'll be getting spayed this Thursday, though.
I have more strays than I should have.
Okay. They all need to be spayed or neutered?
I've taken care of them.
You've done that. Good for you. Thank you. Anybody else on this side? Robin, I'm sorry.
I used to be with Arkansas, and I stepped down from that, but I do some individual stuff when I can. I've got a dog right now. He's already been vetted.
Okay. So none. Right now. I'm trying to see what the number is today.
Oh, that needs to be spayed or neutered, or that needs to be adopted?
Spayed and neutered right now.
Okay.
Because what I want to do, and get tasked the judge to do it, is reach out to the vets in the county and see if we can have a spay and neuter day one Saturday a month. And nobody may be interested. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know what people outside are willing to do. But if we could, you know, if we could use some of this funding and once a quarter have a spay and neuter day, I mean, if they're doing 15 a day, how many, you know, how many do you have, ma'am?
I have seven dogs. They're all rescues. I don't even know how many feral cats out there.
So you got some of those that need to be done.
And I have gotten them all fixed. Companions has gotten some of the cats fixed. And also Saline County.
Their Humane Society does a good job. Yeah, Ann does. Really good.
And
good.
I help with Arkansas.
Good. How many do you have right now?
Well, I don't have any right now because I'm done fostering. I'm on District 6 with Tyler. I used to work for Companions Spayer, but I volunteer with the Humane Society.
Good.
So they would do at least 15 per day with one veterinarian. They have had multiple veterinarians there different days. They can do a lot more animals per day if they have other help with them.
Okay, good.
And I do just want to point that out. You guys would have so much better data if you would talk to all of the rescues.
That's why we asked you here tonight.
You need to find out all the rescues. There are some big rescues. There are little bitty rescues. There are individual people who are just on Facebook seeing these people. I just had a cat thrown in my yard. I just had a dog. I just saw a puppy thrown in the middle of the road because somebody didn't want to spare it. And I just want you to understand.
No, that's why we asked you here tonight, and I appreciate you being here.
Vouchers are a good thing. Okay. Actually, Companions offers vouchers. There's an ARF voucher they have a program with. They have something called a Small Memorial Fund, which helps low-income families. At least they used to, where if you are in need and you cannot afford really anything, they can try to help with that. So they work not only with the Spaniards, that is exactly what they do.
Good.
Because they know what they do, and I really would encourage not only just talking to Companions, but other places such as the SNF program in North Little Rock, Arkansas for Animals. I believe they have a mobile unit that goes and does spay neuter, which helps rural areas of that county to get them assistance because people don't know about spay neuter assistance. That they can get help, so vouchers might be
a good idea. Can I come back to you? Let me get a number real quick that I think that we've got. Anybody else on this side fostering right now? Anybody else on this side? Yes, ma'am, way in the back.
I have three in my house that are all neutered and
waiting
for homes.
All right, thank you for fostering, but none of them need to be fixed, all right? Anybody else on this side need a companion's type of help?
I think what you're asking, these people do
great job.
They do.
But it's just a small amount of what is really out there running loose.
Yes, and that's what... that goes back to the census.
And they can't pick them all up.
Very.
You call the sheriff's office, they say, we can't do anything about it, because they can.
I understand.
And so, it's great to get a number in here, but...
Well, to Justice Kendrick's part, we got to start somewhere, and so this is a buy.
Could I ask you one question?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
I keep hearing about the $1.5 million.
Yes, sir.
How long has that been in there?
Well, it's built. It bills annually. That's a voluntary tax that you may or may not pay, and that's something else we can talk about in the future is awareness, but that's built over a course of time. So as Justice Higgins pointed out, that tax originated in 2005. And so it's been 13 years now that we've collected that.
Is that an account earmarked?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir. That was the ordinance that was passed in 2005, Ordinance 511.
So it should be gathering interest.
Well, it does gather a small amount of interest, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That may or may not fund the shelter. We don't know because we don't have a plan, but it doesn't fund operating.
I just wondered if it was tucked in with... county budget
or whatever. No, sir, it's separate. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Want to say something positive?
Sure,
I love the fact that Justice Kendrick is looking out of the box, and I want to say something. I have been working with the Friends Group physically. I don't live in Faulkner County. These ladies frequent the properties that serve the county. We've been serving the county since 2012 as a group. Daniel McNeese touched on something. He and I have been having a dialogue back and forth. Arkansas actually has another entity up in Rhode Island, and we're branching out. I had called and talked to a shelter I visited 2 years ago up in Maine, and they were very excited to say that they built a 25,000 square foot facility and are very interested in working with our county. They're looking for cats. They're looking for kittens. Like he said, because they don't have a stray problem up there, they actually are looking outside of their state and recruiting from the southern states. She encouraged me to apply because it's all about red tape as far as getting your paperwork in order. She encouraged our group to apply for the AgRI department, and everything I looked at is very doable. We do this as far as transporting from Arkansas to Rhode Island. So it's mind-blowing that they were able to build a 25,000 square foot building. It looks like it might really benefit us a great deal. So I would love to extend an opportunity maybe for the Friends Group in Arkansas and anybody else that's interested, possibly talking with you about maybe looking more into researching what can possibly be done. And this can be done in a matter of months, not years. It takes about 30 days from the time that you apply before you hear whether you've been accepted or not. So, this is pretty doable in a short period of time.
Thank you for your input.
Thank you.
So nobody else fostering or needs animal fixed? All right, so that gives us a little bit of a count there.
I have 8 mama dogs and 43 puppies in our office.
Wow. How many of those need to be?
No, you count.
Well, everyone. I mean, they're just not old enough.
Okay, to do that. Okay, I got you. So, again, Justice Higgins, and I'd like the court to ask Judge Baker to get us a census of the county of what, to your point, there are ways to do that.
About the census of animals?
Yes. Second, I would like the judge's office to reach out to all the vets in the county and see if they would have any interest in once a quarter, once a month. I don't know the timeline there, Justice Higgins. I don't know what that is, but at least with some regularity, doing spayed and neutered and potentially us using some of these funds per Justice Kendrick's comment.
Do you think it'd be good to look at maybe I don't know if we have a cost estimate, look at setting aside or using a certain amount of money, because that's really, I think, what would be driving it.
Or maybe they tell us and then us determine, if we know that they'll do it for 60 and the other vets say, well, I won't do it but for less than 150, and we know that they're in business to make money. I mean, we all are. But that would give us an idea of who would do it and what they would do it for. And then the final thing is, again, a great comment by you. I would like for us to reach out to the city of Conway, city of Mayflower, because we know they have a very small shelter, and Pulaski County, and see just what they would charge us to bring a dog to them. If we get a dog today...
Or even potentially Maumelle, too.
I mean, anybody that's close, can we take a dog to them?
I don't think, just good if I may, I don't think, my last understanding is Conway is interested because they're already at capacity. Okay. They can't handle
it. Well, somebody said that they weren't quite there earlier. Was that you?
I talked with Ms. Osborne. She said they're full, but they're not at max.
Okay.
And
money talks sometimes, you know.
There's no room for expansion there either.
Understood. Okay. But if we reach out to the surrounding shelters, Maumelle, Pulaski County, if Mayflower could take, they may be able to take one, two, ten.
And close theirs down.
Huh?
Mayflower's closed.
Closed down. Okay, well then they're out. So in that case, it would be Pulaski County and Maumelle.
North Little Rock.
North Little Rock. Will they take a Faulkner County dog? You don't think so? Okay.
I don't think they have capacity.
Okay. And maybe they don't. We don't know. But I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Are you going to take any of Pulaski County dogs when you get a shelter?
We might. I mean, if it's a moneymaker, and I don't know.
I mean, I'm just asking. Yeah, I don't think counties cross lines very much on taking dogs.
They may not.
I don't know, but I'm wondering that.
Yeah, I don't think we know. I think that's a great idea. Because here's the thing. To her point, we do need to do something. But where do you do them today?
I'd like to suggest a pilot program be looked at, spray and neuter to start with. A pilot program. Not something you're going to start and let it run indefinite. You start it, you put a stopping point to see how effective it is and what the cost is before you determine how much you're going to spend on it. In other words, maybe a pilot program. We look at that. We'll talk about that the next month. Okay. A pilot program gives you some guidelines on how long you'd want it and all that. But I think the best thing that's come out of here tonight is that pilot of spay and neuter.
Yeah.
To move us forward.
So that we know what kind of problem.
What day do you want to count?
I'm not counting. I'm not counting.
Well, I may not neither. So what day do you want to start?
Yeah.
So I think for time's sake, yes. I think we've accomplished a little ground. So I want to thank the Quorum Court members for their attention. Certainly everybody that came out tonight, appreciate you coming out and your attentiveness. So, Judge, I'll turn it back over to you for a motion to adjourn.
All right, with everybody. Whoa, we got one hand up. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I mean, I know they can't take all the dogs, but if you got a repeat offender dog that's killed several animals, can't we get one shelter that we can pay? And the owner of that animal, if we know the owner, will be responsible for it. But at least we can take that money out of the $1.5 million to get a vicious dog on the streets. Can't we house that dog somewhere?
I think that would be something that the judge could look at.
We'll reach out to North Little Rock. I think they have offered at one time to take some dogs.
Justice Higgins, if you're co-chairing again, I'd like to take just a minute to speak. I haven't had a moment,
sure.
Taken the moment this evening.
We're still meeting. Thank you very much.
I've just taken a moment because I do feel like I have a little bit of valuable information to add to the conversation. One thing that I did after I was elected was call the animal shelter in Washington County and ask to speak to the director there to gain some insight as to how they run their shelter, what their operations are like, to understand if that would be an applicable situation to us in Faulkner County. And first, trying to understand the size of the problem, that's what I did initially as well. And I asked them, who do they serve in Washington County? And they serve any unincorporated community below 10,000 people, I believe. And if you do the math and you take out the larger city of Fayetteville and the part of Springdale that is in Washington County, and you add up all those unincorporated areas and that population, it's about 65,000 people. And if you do the same thing in Faulkner County and you take out the city of Conway and all the unincorporated communities of 10,000 or less, it's right around 65,000 people as well. So I think that the population size, the size of their county compared to the size of our county, is a very comparable situation for us to look at. I asked Miss Ledgerwood, who's the director there at the shelter, if she felt like, now this is from her perspective, not the citizens of Washington County necessarily, but if she felt like their facility met the needs of that part of the county. And she said with 130 to 150, give or take, depending on how they divide their space up, that was comparable space for the needs of Washington County. They built their shelter with $1.2 million in 2012. We are planning on having about $1.5 million in 2019, which in my mind, adjusted for inflation, that may be fairly comparable again. They have animal control officers on staff, but they are under the jurisdiction of the sheriff's office, but they work with the county animal shelter, and the shelter is under the jurisdiction of the judge. The animal control does do larger animals, to speak to your point, sir, about livestock and horses and things like that, but they contract with other folks so they don't have to house. And I think that Faulkner County does some similar things right now with a lady who lives in the county with larger animals. They have a Miss Ledgerwood told me their budget was $645,000 this year for 2019. They do some interesting things to cut their budget. They work with 309s in the program to work in the shelter as well, and I think that we could potentially very easily do something like that as well here. So I just want to bring those facts to the table because, in my mind, as a newly elected member of the court, you know, seeing the history that has been laid out on this issue, seeing where we're at today and what we kind of need, what we need, I think the Washington County Animal Shelter is a fantastic example for us to look at. And to replicate. You know, for years and years and years, what I see in this history is that the people need a shelter. They don't need just a spay and neuter program. They don't need just animal control ordinances. They need a shelter that can do all of those things because, you know, to the lady's point, you know, having just one piece doesn't solve your problem. It's just a Band-Aid over a gaping wound. So they need the shelter to do all of those things together. And looking back on that history, you know, I think there was a date in March of 2015 where there was a reallocation proposed to find operational funds. And that was shot down. And then more recently, there was a millage proposal to find operational funds. And that was shot down. And what I would like to see this body do and what, you know, I will be working to help propose ideas on is to get back to that operational fund debate. I appreciate Justice Kendrick's sentiments to try to do something now to help alleviate the problem, but my personal point of view on this at this point in time is that the county still needs a shelter, and we don't need to dip into the old fund to do something. So what I would like to see if we have this meeting again, and I think that we need to agree to have this meeting again. I don't know if it's scheduled permanently or not.
And again, I guess that courts of public safety will drive this, but I would encourage us to continue to have them at least monthly for now because I don't think we got everything accomplished tonight that you probably wanted to.
Right.
I would be in support of definitely having the meeting again. Yes. And you know what I will work to do for the next meeting is prepare some more ideas about what types of revenue I think my constituents would be willing to support to generate. And just in my limited research so far, I believe the best way to get this done, you know, is through either an initiative that the citizens of Faulkner County could start themselves, or through a referendum process on an ordinance that we could pass and then refer to the people. Because you know, maybe there is, you know, there's seven new members on the court. Perhaps they have the political will to create new revenue to fund an animal shelter. And if that's the case, you know, we could vote on something like that. But, you know, I think that we need to be looking at a referendum idea to propose to the people that they can vote on themselves to decide if we're going to pay for an animal shelter in Faulkner County or not. So I just wanted to add that those facts from the Washington County Animal Shelter, I think, line up very well with Faulkner County. You know, we could come up with a way to raise around the same amount of money for operational funds and have an animal shelter in Faulkner County. So thank you for the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson, Mr. Good, may I ask?
Yes,
ma'am. Mr. Pearson, that's excellent information from Washington County, the comparison you made, et cetera. What funds there of $640,000? Is that tax money?
Yes, it comes from their general revenue fund.
Okay. Is it? Do you know, is it?
Or their general fund,
that,
sorry.
Yes, but, okay, general revenue, that's taxes. And was it taxes that then was dedicated specifically for animal control?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think so.
It comes from their general fund.
From their general revenue.
It does come from the general fund.
Okay. The only other thing that I would say, my feeling about the Washington County is it is a richer county than we are, even though you're talking about the unincorporated areas. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Washington County also has a much higher county sales tax than Faulkner County does, and they generate significant amounts of revenue from that as well. And I think that's where one area where they have a much higher income than we do as well.
I think enough of the Washington County facility. We hired an architect to duplicate it, and it's already been drawn out for a facility, and it's in my office. Several have seen it. It looks great. It really does. So we took their plans, give them to our architect. He drawed it out for us, what it could look like. And that's just a step farther down the road. And I ain't going to say we won't have to go back to the drawing board to get that done if we can get something done on the other stuff. So, knowing nothing else to come before this meeting night, I call it adjourned.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank everybody for being here. Didn't even ask for an announcement. John, do you have an announcement?